Welcome to the weekend! This is a Trending Topics Network presentation of Tunes for Saturday, May 16th, 2015. My name is Brian, and with me, as always, my co-host from Tunes Studios West, it's Jack. What's going on, Jack?
Hey, Brian. Not much. Just hanging out here on a Saturday night after a long day of working in the sun, building a massive place for the outside for the children. My body's not made for this, Brian. I sit at a desk all day, so I'm feeling pretty rough.
Nice. Yeah, that's always fun when you have to do those huge projects outside. Was the weather at least decent for it? Was it too hot, too cold?
It wasn't too bad. It rained a little bit, got a little humid. I got some sunburn. Didn't feel any of it while it was happening, but it's just, getting older. I'm a desk jockey. You know, I don't really do a lot of physical activity on a weekly basis. So getting out there and being on my feet all day and, you know, using all these muscles and doing all this work, not my usual thing, but, so I'll be feeling it tomorrow, but well worth it to see the smiles on the children's faces.
Oh, yeah, especially, like, when you go out there and you do all the physical labor, like you said, but then you add the sun to it, and it's one of those things, if you're out of working shape, I'm not going to say out of shape, but you're out of the physical shape that you maybe used to be in, you've got all those muscles that you forgot you had, like, and then they remind you of that tomorrow, but then the sunburn is not going to help anything if you got sunburn. But like you said, I mean, as parents, there's nothing more fun than the payoff, which is when the kids go out there and see it and they want to wake you up at 6:30 in the morning so they can go play on it.
Yes. And like, then you have to drag them back inside kicking and screaming. That's kind of what we went through tonight.
What was the last thing that you got? That you were actually that excited about?
I think if I had to guess, I remember when my dad brought home, I guess, the essentials to put a basketball hoop into our driveway. And then they put it in, and, you know, like, it was that whole thing of, like, you know, waiting for the concrete to settle, you know, before you could shoot. So it's like you're just sitting there waiting. I had to wait like a day. And then, man, I probably played basketball on that thing all day, every day for weeks and weeks and weeks. I think my parents were very satisfied with the action it got for the price they paid. Because that's also the thing, you know, you spend this money, you build something, you do all this, and you hope that, your kids use it and play on it for a long time and get your money's worth. Because nothing's worse than, you know, buying something that your kid loves for a day and then never touches again.
Yeah. I think the last thing that we got here at the house, I really was as excited as I knew the kids were going to be, and I literally woke up all excited because it was for Christmas, but it was the ping pong table in the basement.
Ah, yes.
Like, we were up until, I want to say 2:30, is typical with Christmas night for a parent, just putting that damn thing together. And then it's like, in the morning, as soon as they came in to wake me up, I wasn't excited about anything else that was going to be upstairs. I just wanted to play ping pong with the kids. And it's been a big payoff. I mean, recently it's been folded up along the wall. But back then, I mean, we played it probably for about a year. We'd play it at least 3 days a week, come down in the basement and play. Just a blast. And unfortunately, the older you get, like, the more often you have to wait those long periods of time before you find something that actually excites you as much as that. Mm-hmm. But with, like, your girls, they're going to have that, like, for the rest of summer. They're going to be on that thing every single day. And when you tell them to come in, they'll get mad about it.
I know. Well, I swear this thing was easier to put together than my daughter's bike. True story.
It's just fun. It'll be a good time. You won't even feel it in the morning when they do get out there, but either way, I mean, we got a big show ahead of us, a big show, because it's been a little while. But before we do that, we should probably plug the network, because there's a bunch of stuff on the Trending Topics Network that everybody needs to know about, if they don't already. including awesome shows like Old School at the Movies, Anything Goes, Cerebral Satire, All One Aside, and the Spanish and Dance Table, which is about wrestling. Have you been watching wrestling lately?
I'm hit and miss lately. I'm not the regular watcher I once was. You know, it's kind of weird because now that I'm not watching as much, you know, I do find that the superstars are actually people I would be more interested in than when I was watching. So it's a little bit ass backwards in that sense. But I have been watching, and I know that there is a pay-per-view in my hometown of St. Louis, Missouri tomorrow night. That's WWE Payback.
Yeah, Payback. I've barely been paying attention. Basically, the only attention that I give it, sadly, is when I listen to the Spanish announce table.
But, you know, sometimes that's all you might need, though. You know, I mean, generally, I don't miss the Raw after a pay-per-view because that's like, you know, those are the best Raws they have. You know, but everything else then before the pay-per-view can be kind of blah, you know. I do find the John Cena open challenges to be interesting, you know, like with Sami Zayn, you know, tearing his rotator cuff when he was trying to pump up the crowd. Ouch.
Here's what I find interesting about that, and I don't think I've heard anybody actually bring it up. That's exactly how John Cena came in.
Yeah, with both Kurt Angle. That was, you know, huge.
It was a big deal. And I actually remember that night, even though I didn't remember him whenever he came back repackaged as, you know, hip-hop John Cena. But I specifically remember that match because I was like, holy shit, that dude just almost beat him. And I didn't realize back then that he would turn into what he turned into.
Yeah, nobody could have. But man, when he came back as Bugonomics, oof.
Yeah, that was like one of the best gimmicks. Just because of how he trash-talked everybody. And really, you haven't seen anybody like that. That version of him was really almost rock level with the pop that it got. And unfortunately, everybody complains about the Attitude Era, about not having guys like The Rock and Stone Cold and things like that. But really, it's just the era that they're in with the whole having to answer to stockholders and the death of the Attitude Era in favor of the PG era. And they got the talkers. They're just not allowed.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I understand the need for talking points. And, you know, I guess they also say since now that it's a public company, they can't just let people have free reign. So it's a different, you know, it's a different animal.
Yeah, it is. It is. And who knows? Maybe that'll return at some point someday. Maybe the WWE Network will actually be the catalyst for that change. Maybe it'll be the vehicle that they're able to bring some things like that back. I know a lot of people are really into NXT.
Well, it's exciting because you get all these guys that actually have kind of traveled the world. They're coming in from, like, the independents. You know, it gives it more of that flavor of people that aren't, you know, produced by the machine. You know, they're fine-tuned by the machine, but they've really learned it on their own. So they kind of come in and they have a good idea of who they are and what they bring to the table. So you can tell it, you can see the confidence in their work, and it's makes it a very good product.
I think it's awesome. And, like, we just talked for literally, like, 5 minutes about wrestling, haven't watched any of it. Thank you, Spanish Announce Table, Captain Awesome and T-Mac.
Yeah.
You guys rock. Also, there are other wrestling shows on the network. The DSJNP, and I always get the letters mixed up, and there's also the Yes Show, Yes Talk. So if you haven't been listening to the network, there's a bunch on there, including all the other style of shows. And you can find links to all those shows at TuneShow.com. Which has actually partnered with ConstructNunchucks.com as well. TuneShow.com is easy enough. TONSSHOW.com. And then ConstructNunchucks is CONSTRUXNUNCHUX.com. So be sure to check out those two sites for various articles on the comedic side, on the serious side at times, sometimes. Podcasts, a whole lot more, videos, all kinds of strange stuff on those two sites. We're also going to be having Paul and Ryan from Construction Unchecked on podcast from time to time as well, to fold them in to what we are all about here at Toonstrux. Nunchuck show? I don't know. I'm still working on that.
Toonstrux.
Yeah, Toonstrux. Ryan actually made a Toonstrux graphic that they have it at Construction Unchecks on Twitter. He has that as their avatar. So that's kind of cool. But we're going to have those guys come in. But there's a whole bunch. If you want to actually be a part of the show, as Paul and Ryan will be very shortly, as many of our friends have been, it's easy to do as well. Toon Show is everything you need to know. Simply go to Toon Show either on Twitter at Toon Show, Facebook, facebook.com/Toon Show. The Skype ID, you can send us little 3-minute messages if we're not online by going to Skype and searching for Toon Show, as well as actually Skyping us in the middle of a show if you wanted, and we could actually probably pull you in, but you don't know we're on the air. But be sure to do that. Send us an email, toonshow@gmail.com. And I think that's pretty much everything they could possibly need to get a hold of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who knows? That's what we got so far. As I said, Jack, we have a big show ahead of us. A couple of little things that we're going to do here. Starting with the very first feature of the show, if I can actually pull up the audio for it, which I will play right now. If you've been paying attention to toonshow.com, you will notice that occasionally I do a series of posts called News That Nobody Can Use. Here it goes. In news that nobody can use, Jack, we got a whole series of stuff here, including one of the most important things you will ever read in your entire life. According to metro.co.uk, which is out of the UK, now you, Jack, can send a loved one a fart in a jar.
I love this concept, Brian. My only question is, is it my fart in the jar, or is it just the smell of a fart in a jar? Because I want it to be my flavor.
It's actually, you can send your own jar of your own fart.
Yes.
And you can send it anonymously to a person that you secretly hate, but are too scared to tell how you really feel. Actually, I don't know. I think you can send your own fart.
Well,
I honestly don't know.
Well, why would they charge you? I'm sure it is just a generic fart. But at the same time, Brian, that's why it's a good idea for us never to give our address out. We give out our email address and our Twitter accounts, but, man, can't give out our real addresses. We might get too many farts in a jar. You know, I know what JBL's been cooking.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and apparently you get to choose from a couple of different selections that they have. You can, yeah, and this is directly from their site. It says you can let it rip in 4 easy ass steps. Choose your booty blast as step 1. You can customize the kind of jart that wafts out. Do you want crispy, airy, juicy, Republican? That choice is yours. I don't know what a Republican fart would taste like or smell like. Taste is worse. If you can taste it, that's bad. And the second step is you let them know. You can write a personal note so they know exactly what it is this or why they're smelling things that they've never smelled before. Then you get to seal the deal, step 3, and we'll seal up your stink jar and ship it out within 2 to 3 business days so it has plenty of time to ferment and ripen. And then step 4, fist bump an eagle. What's that sound? Oh, that's just the sound of sweet-ass victory being poured in a glass. Drink it up, my friend. Now, this is, like, equal parts disgusting and awesome. Do you have anybody that you would actually send a fart to?
I have quite a few people I'd send a fart to be honest with you, but I don't know if I'd actually spend the $10 in the end because I'm cheap. But I do think that, you know, maybe years past when I had a little extra money in my pocket, you know, and blow, I probably would at least send a few farts out to people, if not just for the gag of it all. The literal gag of it all.
It would be one of the more strange, unusual things you could do for a person. I can't think of anybody that I actually despise so much that I would feel like sending a fart to them. Because it's kind of one of those things where, yes, it's disgusting, but it would almost be too funny to actually be considered some sort of a revenge thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong in that one.
I think it's more of a practical joke.
Yeah. Yeah, it really would. And on their page, which is sendachart.com, they have a little saying. It says, everyone farts, but only a jart has the power to say, you deserve to smell the smell. Karma's a mother pumper. But I don't know. I think it's hilarious. It's really super funny. And to commemorate this awesome business venture that somebody had, and it actually made the news, I've come up with some fart facts, Jack.
Oh, let's hear them.
Fart fact number one, numero uno. Farts are 59% nitrogen, only 7% methane, but everybody always blames methane for it. I'm not exactly sure why that is.
Huh.
But they always say it's methane. But the 1% of hydrogen sulfide in a fart is what actually makes them smell. So there's that. The second fact, farts are actually produced by E. coli. Escherichia coli,
really?
Which is like poisonous if you take some. But it's, yeah. And then one person can fart a half a liter a day. That is weird. I mean, you think, I don't know, it's a gas, right?
Yeah, it's a gas.
So, gas, from what I learned in science class, actually went and it expands to the shape and size of its container. So, I'm not really sure how they measure that. You know? Because
yeah.
one half liter is different than another half liter. Unless they're talking about liquefied parts.
That's what I forgot.
I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. But either way, those are your fart facts. Three friendly fart facts.
And are we more intelligent for knowing? I think we are.
Yeah, absolutely. We're better off for knowing it. Did you want to take the second story of the day?
Yeah, the second one comes from Toronto Star out of Barrie, Ontario. And, you know, I wonder if Ryan knows these guys. But police in Barrie, Ontario say two men who took illicit drugs... Oh, no. Two men who took illicit drugs had to call 911 when they couldn't find their way out of a bush. That's right, a bush. 911 call came in Tuesday from the pair who said they were lost. Police say it became clear both men were under the influence of drugs of some sort. Barrie police and EMS, with the help of dogs, found the two 19-year-old men who were silently staring off into the sky. Bryan police say it took several attempts to talk to the men to determine they had consumed an illicit drug, and they were extremely disoriented. Now, they were taken to the hospital for their safety, but the police said no charges will be laid, which is pretty awesome. Sometimes you just wonder, it'd be great to be that messed up, but, I mean, I guess you'd be 19 years old to think that's great, but how do you call the cops and say you're lost when you're just in a bush?
I cannot imagine being so out of it that you don't realize you're actually in a plant, in a bush, on a sidewalk, or wherever it was.
Is it like in Toronto or in Barrie, is bush another word for like a garden or a park? I'm just really confused.
Or like a small forest,
a park.
Just
a bush. How do you get? I mean, do you fall into the bush and then you manage to get your phone out, but you can't get out of the bush? Amazing. Must be some really powerful, powerful drugs.
I know. It's not Pop Rocks and Coke. But what makes this even funnier, in all honesty, and maybe the one reason why I actually pulled this story up initially, was because it takes place in Barrie, Ontario, which is where our friend Ryan Noble lives.
Yes, and I mean, I think these are probably his friends.
Yeah, and I know he likes to partake in the reefer, but it would have to be laced with something pretty heavy, I think, for him to get lost in a bush. But maybe he knows these people.
Yeah, they're probably smoking bath salts.
Yeah, it's a shame we don't know their name, because then we could look them up and see who exactly they were.
They're not miners. They should have released the information.
Yeah, because they were called to a residence, so you would assume that two missing men, or two lost men, would pop up on a police blotter or something.
Ooh, ba-da-ding. Is that a message from the Raw General Manager?
Yeah, that's kind of bizarre. Either way, I don't know. They were found. I wonder whether they get lost next. It's really hard to tell. So, but either way, let's move on to the next story. In Wales, Welsh voter drew a penis on a ballot paper, returning it as a write-in vote. That's funny enough. However, the vote was then counted. Dateline Wales, an angry voter drew a picture of a penis on his ballot paper instead of an X for Tory MP, and it counted as a vote. Conservative MP Glyn Davies today revealed how the voter's penis protest backfired by giving him the extra vote. And instead of being counted as a spoiled vote, cock up, the returning officer decided to count it as a proper X. Mr. Davies said, quote, "One voter decided to draw a detailed representation of a penis instead of a cross in my box on one ballot paper, and I can't pronounce anything. Amazingly, because it was neatly drawn within the confines of the box, the returning officer deemed it a valid vote." He said, "Not sure the artist meant it to count, but I am grateful." Farmer Mr. Davies held his seat in Montgomery Shire in mid-Wales with significantly enlarged majority of 5,000 votes. And he did say if he knew who it was, he'd thank them personally.
That's pretty sweet. What a good guy.
That's so awesome. Have you ever done... like a write-in vote at all?
No, I never have. Just because never really, not that I imagine, but don't want to waste my vote. But, I mean, to draw on a penis and then have it, actually counted, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Seriously. And the one thing that I'm thinking as I'm looking here, who does paper voting anymore?
The Welsh ballot. The Welsh, apparently.
Yeah. Welsh is pretty backwards.
Yeah, but, I guess go the old-fashioned way. Forget the computers,
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. That's kind of crazy, though.
Yeah. Well, moving on to the next topic, Brian. This is one I do not agree with, and this comes to us from mentalfloss.com, which has determined that 80s music is boring, according to science. I don't agree. I find this to be absurd. I think 80s music is some of the most entertaining and unique music of all time. Some may call it crap, But it's unique and entertaining. How can you say it's boring music? It's so far from boring.
Yeah. I mean, what are your favorite 80s songs, though?
Oh, God. I mean, Africa by Toto. I mean, we could just keep going on here. Holiday Road. Man. Flock of
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
Flock of Seagulls. You know, Spin Me Right Round, the great band, the great, you know, Portsmouth, all, you know, just all the great synthesizers, and, you know, it's just so so unique and different, you know. That's what I like about it the most, is it was so unique and different.
What's fun is if you go back and watch 80s movies, and the soundtracks for 80s movies. They basically, I think, only used like 3 different songs for movies for every song that took place in the early to mid 80s. Basically, the same synthesizer was used, the same synthesizer chord set. Just terrible. So I'm looking at this, and they said they put 17,000 songs spanning 50 years of the Billboard 100 list through data mining software in order to do this study. I don't know. Why would anybody spend any time doing this?
I guess research grants, you know. Too much money being given to them, not enough to do. You got to find something to spend your grant on, right?
Yeah, it's just really weird, because it measured harmony, timbre, however you pronounce that, timbre, I think, T-I-M-B-R-E, I think it's timbre.
I don't know, you're the one that has a musical family.
And chord changes, they built a fossil record that tracked when particular stylings were more or less prominent. With that data, the team was able to see the decline of the dominant seventh chords as jazz and blues faded from the mainstream. In turn, the minor seventh chords found a place with the dawn of the disco era. Weird. The team was also able to spot 3 musical revolutions, 1964, 1983, and 1991, which now makes me want to go back and look at those particular years of songs and find out what exactly, what was it about 1964 or 1983?
Yeah, that'd take a little more time and research on our end. But yeah, it would be interesting to find out what it was. I guess maybe some new drugs were introduced.
That could be it, actually. When did Woodstock happen?
Ooh, I don't know. In the 60s, though, maybe.
I don't know. Well, I'm calling it up. Right now, the Billboard year-end top 100 for 1964, as soon as the page loads. I did see Hard Day's Night was one of those songs, but, oh, geez, no shit. All right, 1964, here's your top 20. I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles. She Loves You by the Beatles. Hello, Dolly by Louis Armstrong. Oh, Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison. I Get Around by the Beach Boys. Everybody Loves Somebody by Dean Martin. My Guy, Mary Wells. We'll Sing in the Sunshine, Gail Garnett. At Last Kiss by J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers. Where Did Our Love Go by the Supremes. People by Barbra Streisand, who I can't stand. I hate that woman. Java by Al Hurt. A Hard Day's Night by the Beatles. Love Me Do by the Beatles. Do What Diddy Diddy by Manfred Mann. Please Please Me, or Please Please Me by the Beatles. Dancing in the Street by Martha and the Vandellas, which was redone in the 80s, I believe. Little Children by Billy Kramer and the Dakotas. Love Me With All Your Heart by Ray Charles. And Under the Boardwalk by the Drifters. So I'm thinking the 1964 revolution was pretty much the Beatles.
Yeah, I would say it has to be.
Yeah, I mean, you got out of 20, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the top 20 songs that year were Beatles songs. So, Who knows? But either way, somebody took the time to do science to figure this out. So that's something. Some of our bright minds and our tax dollars went into that study, which just seems completely wrong. But moving on, according to the Telegraph, which is also a UK site, Olivia Goldhill writes, "It sounds like the beginning of an apocalyptic sci-fi film. A New Zealand artificial intelligence company is building the angriest robot in the world in the hopes of helping companies to understand and placate angry customers. The technology firm, Touchpoint Group, has spent more than £230,000, Great British pounds, or is it sterlings? It's the one with the backwards-looking L thing. Is that a sterling? That's a sterling, right?
I have no idea. Where is that?
I think
where's
it's
Mark
a sterling.
Need them?
Brits are weird. But either way, as my computer shits the bed again, basically they're building these angry robots who only simulate anger. They feel it's important to point out. In order to improve customer service for different companies. But it's really a big step for artificial intelligence. Where do you think this will learn? If they can emulate anger, what would be next?
I have no idea. I mean, they say, you know, that I guess anger would not lead to violence, but I guess the next thing they could emulate is, you know, find out how to make people actually happy instead of worrying about why people get angry. I mean, come on now. Let's use this power for the good. We don't need Skynet taking over, and, you know, we've seen Terminators, and we'll stay away from the anger. I'll stay with the happy.
Yeah, because there's far too much anger in this world. And I actually went on a Twitter rant earlier, not a Twitter rant, but made a couple observations that everybody is just so mad. And a person made a comment to me that it's a rule of the internet that people have to be mad and mean. And I made the comment that it's kind of funny that that's the only rule people find to be worthy of not breaking. Because every other rule in the world they want to break, or they want to be mad that you can't do this or you can't do that. But that whole, you got to shit on absolutely everybody and you're not allowed to actually be nice to anybody else, that's the one that they're not willing to break. We have so many people in this world that just need to be just be happier.
Yeah.
Just roll with it. And in reality, all these angry people is exactly why they had to make these robots. If you think about it, I mean, these robots that are angry are training tools to deal with angry people who are all over the freaking place. So when Skynet happens and the Terminators take over the world, I'm blaming all you people who can't find any shred of happiness in the world. There's my rant. But do you think it'll happen someday where we'll actually have robots like in Terminator? Not necessarily Terminator, but artificial intelligence embedded in robots and they become sentient?
Long after we're gone, Brian. Long after we're gone. Robots will fight our battles. Robots will fight our wars. It'll be a battle of intelligence.
It's a scary thought when you think about all the things that they can do. Even with things like Facebook, which is getting an all-new algorithm, apparently. But they can determine your behaviors. And they have predictive behaviors. I mean, even our freaking cell phone, which fits in the palm of our hand. Predictive text. They can pick up on your habits as individuals. And that's kind of a frightening thing when you think about
it. Yeah. It's not going to be
a good world. Just using simple math, they can figure out what it is that you're going to do next and predict your actions. So, who knows? I mean, somebody's eventually going to try to do something that's going to get out of hand. Robotics is no different than any other science, whether it's pharmaceuticals or otherwise. Somebody's going to push it too far, and something's going to happen bad, and we're going to end up having a fallout from something, whether it's a nuclear level fallout or whatever. It's just the nature of humanity is to mess things up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Very true.
But did you have any other stories that you've come across in the past week that you thought were interesting?
Oh, endless stories, Brian, endless. But, you know, I could go on for days about interesting stories, but I'll pass it on. I think we've got some more interesting things coming up in the show.
Yeah. Well, keep an eye out. I'm going to have news that nobody can use as a regular feature on TuneShow.com. So between Jack and I and possibly Paul and Mart, I know, will keep us in the news. He sends me news articles all the time that are weird, bizarre. He actually sent me one this week, and of course I didn't favorite, so I'd have to go through like 30,000 tweets just to find it. Something about there were signage on buses that they're putting in Great Britain that are kind of ruffling some people's feathers because they're advertising what a good ride it is. You can ride me for $3 or something like that.
I like that.
It's really amusing. I'm like, kudos for you for the original and creative campaign. But apparently some people are getting upset about it because I can understand. I mean, you got grade school children that see these buses rolling by.
Yeah.
But it's still funny. But either way, we're going to wrap that news up, that segment. We're going to play a little soundbite here, and when we come back, we're going to answer some hypothetical questions. Hi, Pathetic Al. That's actually what I don't know why I've been on that. I was just thinking about it the other day, and I just couldn't help but get that stuck in my head.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Anyway, you're listening to Tunes right here on the Trending Topics Network.
Okay, we are back here on Tunes on Saturday, May 16th, and we just got done with our weird news that you can use, and Brian and I now are ready to bring you a segment that we kind of just conjured up this week through a little bit of text messaging. Brian threw it at me, maybe we should do a show where we discuss some hypothetical questions. And simply enough, after 5 seconds of research, I had a whole webpage full of them. And so this topic we could probably go on for a few days, so we'll try to slim it down and keep it within the context of this show. Brian, how much did you enjoy preparing for this episode?
It was really easy to prepare for this episode. And one of the things I did, I threw it out on Twitter because I was like, hey, why don't we go out and ask people to give us hypothetical questions? Figured we'd get some, like, pretty crazy stuff. And that worked. It worked. On one aside, for instance, replied almost immediately as well. Almost not quite as fast as you replied to it, but pretty fast. So let's just kind of start with theirs, I guess. Now, on one aside, here on the Trending Topics Network, if you haven't listened to their show, go ahead and listen to it. Three girls, Charlie, Brooke, and Sloan, talk about all strange things that weird females talk about. I think all females are weird. Let's just get that out of the way right now. But either way, they talk about all kinds of stuff. Usually ends up something about sex because people can't help but ask females about sex.
Yeah, that's all I can think about.
Yeah, so either way, we don't talk about that here because on Tunes, we're married. We don't have sex.
Yeah, good point.
when we do, disaster happens, and you end up with children.
Or you end up in debt forever, doing a week full of chores for out of the guilt that gets thrown upon you.
But enough about our problems. All on the side, ass. If you could live, Jack, for 10 more years, and only 10 more years, but you'd be incredibly happy, or you can live forever and be unhappy, which of those two would you choose?
This was easy. 10 years of incredible happiness, without a doubt. I mean, granted, I would miss a lot of important events in my children's lives, But at the same time, you know, God, if you lived forever, everybody you know would die and everybody you cared about would go away and it'd just be miserable. So why not just be happy for 10 years and that be that?
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I didn't think it was too difficult of a question. However, just for the sake of livening this particular question up, happy is, in my opinion, it's something that you have to be active with. You have to be actively happy. You can't just be happy, and they actually did talk about it on I Wanna Side, the last episode, about how content isn't necessarily happy. And I'm with them on that, because contentment is what you do when you just say, oh, I'm good. And I find myself that way a lot. But you're happy, you have to actively do things to remain happy. It's on the higher scale of your brain activity. So I would ask you, if you only had 10 more years, what would you do to maintain your happiness? Like, what are the kind of things that you would fill that 10 years with?
Travel, for one. I probably would not think as much about making anybody else happy. I tend to do that already, but I would probably be way more content with doing what I wanted and being a selfish prick. Be as opposed to worrying about the repercussions of anything I said or did, because, you know, long-term effects are always what you worry about in life anyways. You know, you can't just tell people to go fuck off all the time because it costs you a job and then your earning potential over your life. But, you know, if you only have 10 years, you know, your long-term repercussions aren't that high, so you probably would just be happier in the SNG. You'd probably be more likely to give people the finger. You know, I wouldn't blow money because, you know, as we all know, you want to leave money for people that you care about, but I probably wouldn't be as tight. Yeah. I'd probably be spending more to make sure that what I'm spending my money on will lead to happiness. I'm not just trying to buy things that make me happy, but, you know, use it for, like I said, use it for the experiences of life.
Yeah, and that's the key. I mean, there are so many things. I mean, would you sit down, you find out that you have this 10 years, because this is what I would do. You sit down and just make that bucket list. Because we always talk about bucket lists, or at least I do, but I've never actually written one down. You know what I mean? And it'd be one of those things where I would actually have to physically sit there and write down that bucket list. I'd be like, I got 10 years to make all this happen. And the catchy thing is, it's a 10-year wait. You'd be living for 10 years, so you couldn't even just be like, well, I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to travel all around the world. Because you'd still have to live. So it's like, it'd be one of those things where, yeah, it might be a little bit more loose, but 10 years is still quite a while when you consider all the responsibilities that you would have in that 10 years. But, yeah, the very first thing I would do is conduct or put together my bucket list, my official bucket list, which, for the amusement of those who may not have heard, when I think we did a bucket list before on Toons way back in the day, going to a furry convention would be, like, one of the ones that's on my list. Because, and everybody right now listening who hasn't heard that before is like, what the hell is up with this guy? I just simply refuse to acknowledge the fact that they exist. I don't believe they exist, and I would need to see it for myself. I don't care if people tell me, yes, it exists, I've seen it downtown. I don't care, because I have not seen it. And I must see one of these things before I die. Not maybe necessarily attend one, but I need to physically see a whole bunch of people walking down the street in costumes like that on a non-Halloween weekend. But yeah, that's one of the things. And also, the travel thing is cool, and I would like to do that. There's not very many places that I would want to travel to. I think because part of being happy, for me, is not having to deal with planning the vacations, planning those trips. So I would want to avoid that part of it. But definitely, just like little road trips every now and again, just, I'm going to just drive to Boston some weekend, because driving to Boston from Youngstown, I would guess, is maybe a 12-hour drive. But I can do that, just call up a hotel and drive to Boston and then drive back. No big deal. Whereas something like a Disney trip, which Disney is awesome, but a Disney trip takes a little bit more planning, a little more packing, a little more effort. And in that 10 years that I have, I'm not going to want to waste all the frustration of trying to plan for a vacation like that. I'd definitely get super fat. So, at the 10 years, I'd probably die of a heart attack because I'd be like, no, happy means I am going to eat all of this. And I just had like a long list of stuff that I was going to eat. But, furthermore, you know you have 10 years. At the end of the 10 years, you're done. Either way, there's nothing you can do about it. How do you go out? You just let nature take its course? You rob a bank?
I don't know. That part I don't like to think about so much, actually.
There's so many ways to go. Because you could. Again, that could be like part of the happy thing. Maybe you're a thrill seeker. You're like, on that 10-year day, that 10-year anniversary, I'm not going hang gliding. I can tell you that. One, I don't like heights necessarily. And two, I would not like not the fall. The fall wouldn't bother me. It's the landing. that would not be the way to go. But, I don't know. That's kind of the morbid side of that question. You're like, oh, so happy, and then you get hit by a Mack truck, which might be the way to go, because it'd be instant. Anyway, I'll let you take the second question.
Okay, pull it up here. That was on our rhetorical questions website. Okay, the next one, from all wine aside, if you could learn any skill instantly, what would it be?
I think this is actually a great question. I would try to learn, you know how some people have that innate ability? And I don't know, is an ability a skill?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to figure out, because I was thinking, well, I mean, I don't want to be like an expert carpenter, but all I could think about instantly was, God, I want to be a professional golfer. Those guys make mobs of money. Mobs of money. So I just want to be, you know, a great golfer.
Like, flawlessly counterfeit cash.
Yeah, that would be another good one.
That would be a great skill to have.
That might be the best one, actually.
Nobody can detect it. Just think of that. You wouldn't need to worry about any other skills. If you could flawlessly counterfeit money.
That's all you
do. I mean, yeah, you'd be a criminal. Technically, but who's going to catch you?
Now you have money and time to perfect other skills.
Yeah, you'd have to be caught in the act. And quite frankly, after you did it for a little while, you'd be able to buy a house and a security system enough to where nobody would be able to get into that area to see you doing it without you spotting them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my skill. Flawlessly counterfeiting cash. So now the FBI is going to have me on their watch list. What is your skill?
Mine?
Yeah.
Professional golfer. That was all I could think of. I was like, that's what I would do. I'd perfect the skill of golf. Because, I mean, you think about it. Golfers make tons of money. They get to spend their time outdoors. They get to travel. They don't play on golf every weekend. And then they also get to play for fun, play on the best courses in the world. Hot chicks are everywhere, eat at the finest restaurants, drink the finest wine. It just seems like a pretty nice lifestyle. So, you know, I'd want to be a just perfect the skill of being a great golfer.
That would be actually kind of cool.
Good life. They live a good life, I tell you what. Think about all the money they make from sponsorships and purses. And some of these guys only play like 2 out of every 3 weeks. I mean, and it's for 4 days. I mean, freaking A, right? I mean, these professional golfers, it's the biggest scam ever. Those guys have it. It's so easy.
This is true. And you know what? I would use my flawless counterfeiting skills to sponsor you.
Thank you, Brian Corbett.
To get you started, to take you through Q school. Yeah. So you could be the professional golfer. And I would do that, and I would use my counterfeit money machine to travel along with you.
That's very kind of you.
And I'd be your caddy. We could do tune shows from the golf course, because really, what any distractions wouldn't bother you, because you'd be a professional golfer. You'd be good to go. So I could have the Caddyshack golf bag with all the podcasting equipment in it instead of a radio and stuff that Rodney Dangerfield had. I like his golf bag.
All right. Yeah, it's a great flick.
Yeah, and it can be, instead of golf clubs, I can have just microphones to interview people and speakers and all that fun stuff. Man, we're going to have an awesome time with our new instantly learned skills. So if you're listening to the show, tweet us yours. Tweet us what skill you would learn instantly. Tweet it with the hashtag TunesTip so that it shows up on our website as well. Be sure to do that. Thank you all, One Aside, for your contributions. We're also going to just flip over to hypotheticalquestions.com to check out a couple of random ones. And then I'm going to go some crazy ones that I'm going to hit you with, Jack, and we'll have debates about them. The one that I'm going to ask you right now, right off the bat. Jack, you're walking in a forest, and you find a black suitcase. Inside it, there's $1 million and a piece of paper stained in blood with the single word "don't." Do you take it? Or do you leave it?
Man, that's tough. I'd probably leave it. Because that's a lot of money, and you're probably going to die. Somebody's going to kill you for that money. And that "don't" is probably your warning. So I think if you grab the money, you probably take 2 steps and there's a bullet in your head. That's just my guess. So I'd probably leave the money there and just run.
I oftentimes got in trouble from an ethics professor for the answer that I'm going to give, because I would actually leave it as well, but I wouldn't leave. I would call up my mom and I'd say, "You're never going to believe what I found, but I can't take it." Because then if something bad happened, guess who inherits it? This guy. I actually pulled that. He tried to use an example in class, my ethics professor. And he said, or he was asking people, if it's okay to steal medication from a pharmacist, if your spouse is going to die if he doesn't get that medicine and you can't afford it. And so, in the interest of having that discussion, he asked that. And I was like, well, I think everybody's missing the point after about 10 minutes of everybody going back and forth, when clearly there's no right answer. But I came up with the right answer, and the right answer to that question was what I told him. I was like, look, what you're going to do is, your spouse is dying. You send them in to steal the medication. One, scenario one, they succeed and they get the medicine and they stay alive. Scenario two, they get caught, they go to jail, and the state gives them that medication and they survive. If I go in and steal it, I could go to jail, and then my spouse or significant other is still left in the same situation they were before I got sent to jail. So why not do that? So in that vein of thought, I'm calling my mom. I'm saying, Mom, I found a suitcase with $1 million, and then maybe I take the piece of paper that says "don't," and I put it in my pocket. You just never know. That's probably borderline evil and evidence that I'm going to be going to hell. But yeah, that's what I would do.
All right. Here's one for you that I found very interesting that I wanted to know. And the question is, if you had to be stuck in a TV show for a month, what show would you pick?
Oh, good one. Yeah. So we're actually stuck in it?
Yeah, say you would just be in that world for a month.
This is a really good question. This is a really good question. Does it have to be currently on TV?
No, it can be any TV show ever. So, like, if you wanted to live on Lost for a month. It's like, you know, just imagine, like, the show was the real world scenario.
Okay, I think I have mine. On one hand, it's bad. On another hand, it's great. Diners, drive-ins, and drive-thrus, or whatever it's called. What is it? Dives, drives, whatever the hell it's called. With Guy Fieri. Because on one hand, yeah, you're stuck with Guy Fieri for a month. On the other hand, you're traveling all over the country in that month. Basically visiting diners, and you get to try all this badass food.
Yeah, I agree. That's not a bad one. I wasn't thinking reality show. I was thinking more like you'd probably say, Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, as far as the character, I don't know that we'd be able to be a character, unless I would say I would be Guy Fieri.
Oh.
That would be rough. But I get to eat all the food, like I said. And I'd have to pretend that I don't like eggs. Yes, I do watch the show on a regular basis, because I love that whole idea of traveling around all the different little hole-in-the-wall places. And he doesn't like eggs. So I'd have to pretend like I didn't like eggs during that month. But either way, what would your TV show be, and who would your character be?
Oh, it would be Saved by the Bell, and I'd be Zach Morris. So it'd be easy. The coolest guy in school.
This is true. This is true. And I can't believe I missed it. That could have been a cartoon of some sort.
Yeah, very true. But, you know.
That sucks. I've already committed to being Guy Fieri for a month.
I'm going to be Zach Morris.
Yeah, and I can't decommit. Once you say it, that's what it is. But either way, Jack, I actually I listen to a number of podcasts, and one of my favorite games actually surrounds the would you rather kind of scenarios, hypothetical scenarios, if you will. The show that I listen to a lot of times is called Comedy Bang Bang, and it's just really funny. And if you go to @CBB for Comedy Bang Bang, WYR for Would You Rather, you can actually find a whole bunch of people, like, tweet them these hypothetical scenarios that they would then debate over which one you would pick, basically. Would you rather? That's why it's called Would You Rather. So I'm going to cycle down here and just randomly pick ones so we can have a little debate about which one would be worse and which one would be the more appealing. All right. All right. Now, the very first one actually came from somebody named Max Sokol, MB Sokol on Twitter. Would you rather bite every coin you receive as change or light parts of your beard on fire every time you embark on a challenge? So the options are bite every coin you receive as change. So if you get 98 cents, you're biting like 11 coins. Or light parts of your beard on fire every time you embark on some sort of a challenge.
It would have to be biting the coins. I mean, Jesus, whole world's full of germs anyways. At least it wouldn't hurt you.
Yeah, I kind of would say that, but then I do think about where those coins have been.
Nah. That's rather than lighting your beard on fire. I mean, you know, then your whole face could catch on fire and smells real bad. Then after a while, you're running out of hair to beard, or beard hair to burn. Then what do you do? Then what happens?
Yeah, but how many times have you gotten, like, a dime that was, like, covered in that green stuff, or a penny?
I know.
Like, covered in that green corrosion? You gotta put that in your mouth. You have to bite that.
I barely wash my hands, though, so, I mean, it's whatever.
It's kind of disgusting, though. Now, on the other hand, lighting parts of your beard on fire every time you embark on a challenge, that's not very... How often do you go on a challenge?
I think every day is a challenge. Every day I wake up, you know, my wife's like, my wife says good morning, and I'm like, yep, light my beard on fire.
It's like, go to the mailbox, are you kidding me? Yeah, I think in the end you'd end up biting the coins, but it's still gross to me.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I'm a bit of a germaphobe.
I know. Right now, my wife is across the room from me, and she has zero context on what we're talking about, and she's getting ready to pee her pants, I think. All she hears is the words coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. That's gross. Here's a really good one, and I asked my daughter this one earlier, and she answered it pretty quickly, but I still think it's funny. So there are pluses and minuses of these, too. Would you rather, and this is from Jesse Hood on Twitter, at Jesse Hood, would you rather constantly have pudding coming out of your belly button or forget how to speak every full moon? So basically, every full moon would come around, and everything that you learned to say in that month period, you would forget and have to learn how to talk again. Or you'd have pudding coming out of your belly button at all times.
What flavor pudding?
You could always sell the pudding.
Well, if it was chocolate pudding, I would choose chocolate pudding out of my belly button.
What about butterscotch?
No way. Tapioca, no way.
Yeah.
Tapioca pudding's like a punishment.
Just the fact that it depends on the flavor. And there's a lot of good puddings out there, though, besides chocolate.
I know. Chocolate's so good.
I really like the Jell-O ones that are layered. So you get like s'mores that have like the marshmallow layer. Those are awesome.
Yeah. Valid point. I don't know.
Maybe the flavors change.
No desire to learn my words all over again. I mean, geez, I can. You know, because by the time you learned them all, you'd be relearning them again because the new moon came about. So putting out a belly button's pretty good. Pretty good answer there. Because otherwise you're repeating the same thing over and over again, learning your words once a month.
Let's move on to the next one. Pudding coming out of the belly button is just kind of a disgusting kind of idea. On the next one, from Jordan Maywood, at Jordan_Maywood, he says, would you rather face off against the Hulk in a game of chess for all of eternity, or have toes made out of living fish?
Oh, man. Oh, man. I mean, in the end, I guess it has to be toes made out of living fish, only because at least then you're still living a life full of change and opportunity. You know, if the other end of it, you're just doing the same thing over and over again, it would be mind-numbingly terrible, so as disgusting as it is, fish as toes has to be the answer.
You could never walk in a neighborhood that had cats.
This is true. But at least I'd be able to walk in neighborhoods, you know? Instead of just playing chess with the Hulk.
You'd take the Hulk's rook, and he would destroy you and just smash you. Literally, because he's the Hulk and he smashes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think just based on a soul kind of survival thing, you would have to pick the living fish. But let's combine them. What if your toes were made of living fish or pudding came out of your belly button?
Pudding. The belly button.
But it had to be banana cream.
Oh, no. Okay. But, oh, man. Then you're walking around, and now you're eating it, so you gotta find a way to dispose of it all the time. banana cream pudding, and I just have to, like, get some kind of tube to, you know, put in a sack on my leg or something. I don't know. But fish's toes would be terrible, so banana cream pudding.
And the thing was, if it was constantly coming out of your belly button, then you would have to account for the fact that while you were sleeping, it would likely continue to flow.
Oh, man.
You'd wake up. I don't know how fast would it be flowing out of the
That's true.
Island.
I have dogs. So they probably consume some of it.
A dog lick in your belly.
But if you had fish, the dogs would probably be nipping at your toes.
That'd be terrible. Oh, my goodness. Let's do one more, maybe. I'll see if I can randomly find a funny one. Because there are so many different ones here. It's literally pages of people trying to submit them. Okay. Would you rather have to carry around the same pumpkin for your entire life or swim through a sewer pipe to enter and exit your house? And that is from Shiraz Dada on Twitter.
Well,
you either have to carry the same pumpkin. Yeah, or be Super Mario.
Yeah, good way of putting it. Super Mario. So you have a rotty, decomposing pumpkin. Or smell what... Yeah. I've got to be the pumpkin, because at least then you have a chance to, like, not smell like a, you know, like urine and feces all the time. Right?
Yeah, probably. I've never gone in a sewer pipe, but I do find it kind of odd that your house doesn't always smell, so I wonder if the water actually flushes most of that away.
It's possible.
So, how much are we dealing with? Do I get to keep clothes on the other side that I can change into?
Ooh, well, see, now you're making it a little bit different. Can you enter into your shower and immediately hose off? Because if that's that's not bad.
Because, I mean, that would be one way to do it. Until wintertime, when it's icy cold outside, that would kind of suck. But at the same time, I mean, you've got this pumpkin you have to carry around, and it's all rotting and gooey. And it goes from being orange to having, like, that black mildew mold nastiness. I don't know. These are two tough ones.
Very tough.
Because
there's
on the other hand,
variables there.
Yeah, because you know you're swimming through the sewer pipe as a thing, and you're like, ugh, that's pretty gross. But I have to say, I think that I would have to do the sewer pipe one. That's simply on the precedent of Super Mario.
Yeah, that was a great way of putting it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm going to have to go the sewer pipe myself. But either way, those were our hypothetical questions for the week. If you have any that you'd like us to answer, by all means, hit us up at #ToonStip on Twitter. On the website, if you want, send us an email. Do any kind of funny thing. Send us a whole list of them. Just bizarre things. We'd be more than happy to do it in the future. But right now, what we're going to do is we're going to switch it over, change gears, to a favorite feature, I think, of yours as well as mine, Jack. And that's the Are You Freaking Kidding Me segment. This segment of Are You Freaking Kidding Me? Brought to you by the Trending Topic Network and TuneShow.com. Jack, a lot of people maybe listening to this don't have a clue as to what Are You Freaking Kidding Me is all about. Why don't you go ahead and fill them in and give us your Are You Freaking Kidding Me for the week.
Well, Are You Freaking Kidding Me? For a long time, I would change for callers to call in and they could give one thing off their chest that happened, whether it be news or in their personal life or just some random observation throughout the week. They're really grinding their gears. And my Are You Freaking Kidding Me this week, Brian, is on Tuesday of next week will be the last episode of David Letterman. Now, this show, it holds a special place in my heart because back when I guess I was about 10 years old, I managed to acquire a black and white TV with antennas. Mm-hmm. And every night when I went to bed, I would, you know, I had to get up and turn the knob on the TV, and I got like three different stations. But I would watch David Letterman every night. And I remember he sent his mom to the Olympics, and, you know, it just cracked me up. And for a long time, I watched David Letterman up until I got to about college, you know, kind of turned away at that point in time. I was doing different things that time of night. But, you know, God, what a run he had. And it just seems like the time really has flown. You know, I was always a Dave over Jay kind of guy anyway, so, you know, I mean, it's kind of sad that his run has ended, and, you know, I forget who's taking his place, but, you know, I imagine whoever it is will fail, but then the guy after that, I'll do fine. So, you know, God, where the years have gone, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, seriously. Mine was a little more humorous.
Yeah.
Than depressing. I actually texted you when it happened. I think I texted Paul when it happened as well. My daughter is playing softball now. She plays softball like 3 days a week at least. She has games. And it gets kind of boring. So one of the things I got for Christmas was a hacky sack. And I've been teaching my son how to play. We go and we play before the games start. Well, Tuesday, my son and I, playing hacky sack, having a good old time before the game starts. When about 20 minutes before the game actually started, I heard a rip, Jack. I heard a rip. The entire crotch of my shorts tore away at the seams. So I had to sit through an entire game. Oh, by the way, it got pretty chilly that day because of the rain that had happened earlier that morning. And I hadn't taken that into consideration to wear pants. But I had shorts with a hole, so you had that extra airflow. I'm sitting there. It was like a 6-inch rip in my shorts. And I couldn't do anything. I sit in the bleachers behind my wife and had her lean back into me to really keep it away, because you could see everything. Luckily, I didn't do commando anymore. Because back in the day, after I got out of the Army, I did, because road marches sucked when you had underwear on. Little tunes tip there. If you plan to walk 15 miles, do it sans underwear. My Are You Freaking Kidding Me revolves around sitting for 2.5 hours while your daughter plays softball with a 6-inch tear in your shorts. And Are You Freaking Kidding Me? So, has that ever happened to you?
No, really, I've managed to avoid that kind of stuff. No embarrassing tears, but...
It was terrible. It was terrible. It wasn't so much terrible as it was terrible. It wasn't a life-ending thing, obviously, because I had a way to cover up, but... I mean, if I hadn't, it would have been bad. Of course, my wife thought it was the most hilarious thing in the world and couldn't stop laughing. And then, of course, all the other parents keep turning around and looking at her laughing. And I'm just kind of like, yep, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. And my son was all upset because I couldn't play with him anymore. But, yeah, that was a disaster. That was a disaster. And either way, it's been a show, and now we're at the end of that show. I thank everybody for listening this week. Jack, did you have anything that you wanted to plug?
I would love to say Blues Playoff Games, but that's not happening. I'd like to plug the Discovery Channel Twitter account for totally owning the Penguins this week, which I managed to hear about that on every major sports outlet there was. So that was pretty funny. I would just tell everybody to, as always, stay safe and be good to one another.
Excellent. Well, we'll definitely do this in a couple. I've really got just about nothing. Unless you hate cancer. I mean, if you like cancer, just ignore this. But if you hate cancer, rather, go to hockeykickscancer.com. Donate to that. That's something that I do every week in the Pittsburgh area, or every year in the Pittsburgh area. It's a kickball tournament. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, by all means, sign up to play in it. It's a kickball tournament that takes place August 1st, but they also take donations throughout the year. All benefits for that go to the Pittsburgh chapter of the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society. I've got a link to it right there on the toonshow.com homepage. If you scroll down, you'll see the Hockey Kicks Cancer logo, which I made for the site, make a different logo each and every year for them. Stevie is a hell of a person. She puts all that effort into putting that show on, so the least I can do is plug that. Also, be sure to check out toonshow.com on the regular. Trendingtopicsnetwork.com on the regular. subscribe on iTunes, because then you get everything as you sleep or eat or whenever it is that you get it. And also, check out all the fun stuff on ConstructsNunchucks.com, which we are now a little small part of. Be sure to do that. And until next week, he's Jack, I'm Brian.
Yes.